It's Monday, May 31st. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is Reopening America. The coronavirus lab leak theory got extra attention last week as we found out that three researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology got sick in November of 2019, and they sought medical treatment at a hospital. Their symptoms were consistent with COVID and common seasonal illnesses. Also being talked about was an abandoned Chinese mine where people got sick after clearing bat guano. Scientists from the Wuhan Institute took samples and found several new coronaviruses in 2012. Ken Delanian, national security correspondent at NBC News, joins us for why calls to investigate the coronavirus origins have intensified. Thanks for joining us, Ken.
Great to be with you.
I want to talk about the latest that we're hearing on the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. For a long time, we had been hearing the prevailing theory of how the virus originated, came from bats, transferred to another animal, hopped on over to humans. But there had always been this theory that the virus might have leaked from a lab there in Wuhan, China. That's getting a little more play right now. We've seen a lot of things walked back from the Chinese government. We just saw a U.S. intelligence report that identified three researchers at this Wuhan lab who sought treatment at a hospital after falling ill in November of 2019, symptoms that were similar to those that have COVID-19. So, Ken, help us walk through some of what we're hearing now.
You know, I think you set it up really well by saying that it's getting more play now, because actually the facts on the ground have not changed much. But what's happened is, you know, you had the Trump administration, the China bashing, you know, hot rhetoric Trump administration saying a lot of this stuff, and it was discounted. In many circles, it was discounted. But in fact, right from the beginning, my U.S. intelligence sources were very skeptical about the origins of this, because they said to themselves, look, these coronaviruses come from bats that generally are in caves 1,000 miles from Wuhan. But somehow this virus first arose in the human population in Wuhan, which just happens to be the center of biological research in China, and just happens to be the location of the only sort of high-level lab where they're doing that, you know, really, you know, high-end research where they wear the, you know, crazy suits that we've seen in the movies. And so that's the circumstantial case, right? And then they saw that China was covering up, was obfuscating. And then when they asked for data and information about what was going on in the lab, they weren't getting it. And so now a lot of scientists initially discounted the notion that there could have been, we're talking about an accidental release from the lab. No serious authority that I know alleges that this was somehow a bioweapon. The prevailing theory is that they were studying coronaviruses in this lab, and that, you know, somebody may have gotten infected or in some way the virus escaped and got into the human population. Initially, the woman who runs the lab said, we weren't working on any coronavirus similar to COVID-19. And she also said that nobody from her lab got sick. Well, now we have this U.S. intelligence report that the Wall Street Journal first reported on, and that we have confirmed that the U.S. government has identified through another foreign intelligence service, we're told, three researchers at the lab who sought hospital treatment for what is described as COVID-like symptoms, pneumonia-like symptoms. Now, we don't believe the U.S. government knows whether that was COVID, but what's interesting about it is, if it's true, it contradicts what the head of that Wuhan Institute of Virology said. So it raises questions about her credibility. So it's obviously not a smoking gun. It's one piece of circumstantial evidence. Then there's other pieces. There's, you know, the State Department put out a fact sheet in January. It was the Trump administration on the way out the door, so it didn't get as much attention. But it also alleged that the Chinese military was doing secret experiments at that lab, which the lab folks have denied. So what you're seeing is a lot of scientists and people who had initially kind of downplayed the idea that there could have been an accidental release, wanting to take another look at it. And also in part because a year and a half later, they have not been able to identify an animal to human vector. Right. That doesn't mean they never will, but they haven't so far after a very intensive search.
I think you mentioned it, and it's the credibility issue that's a really big factor here. You know, China has not been credible throughout this whole thing. Unfortunately, you know, a team of researchers from the WHO went out to research. You know, all the reports that we saw was that they were very limited in the scope of what they could look into. Even some of the scientists that signed on to the letter saying, This definitely came from an animal. Some of them are changing their tune. Everybody's just calling for more openness and more research into what's going on.
That's right, Oscar. And, you know, in fact, that WHO situation was pretty disheartening because you had some very reputable scientists go over there for 3 days and they visited the lab, but they didn't really have access to firsthand information. They weren't able to interview researchers, independently. And they emerged and said, not only did they say, we don't believe in the lab theory, they said it doesn't merit further investigation. Well, immediately the head of the WHO contradicted them because he has access, presumably, to some of the intelligence that the U.S. government has. And I'm sure phone calls were made. And the U.S. government's position was, wait a second, we can't rule this out. I mean, we're not saying we can prove it or even that it's the leading theory. There are two essential theories that this virus, you know, naturally occurring, transmitted from bats to an animal host to humans like other SARS viruses have done, or that there was this accidental lab theory. And the U.S. government's position is, we are examining both possibilities and both merit investigation. And now you're right. You're seeing more, even Anthony Fauci, who initially really kind of poo-pooed the lab theory, recently has been saying, no, I'm not ruling that out at all. Now, the problem, though, my U.S. intelligence sources tell me is that at the end of the day, we may never know. If China continues to deny access to data and they've purged databases, they've made it really difficult to get information. Obviously, the U.S. intelligence community is focusing resources on trying to find out. But even if they found, let's say the National Security Agency intercepted some what seemed like smoking gun emails, you know, proving that, in fact, the Chinese were talking about a lab leak, they would be concerned at this point that that's disinformation, that the Chinese were trying to, you know, run an operation on them. So it's really going to be difficult to find ground truth in this now. Yeah. When we're having, it's sort of a spy versus spy situation.
Definitely. And now what's kind of coming into focus, they're looking at this Chinese mine where 6 miners, I guess, got sick. This is stemming back to April of 2012. They were there, they were clearing bat guano from there. 3 of them died, but they all came down with this similar type of illness. And they went back there, they took a bunch of samples from there. They were able to identify several new coronaviruses. So this is one of those sticking points. Genetically, everything points to SARS-CoV-2, the one that causes COVID-19, coming from animals, something of a natural evolution. And these new coronaviruses are all similar percentages of 60, 70% in some cases, similar to SARS-CoV-2, but they're not exactly the same. But just as we've been talking, everything just kind of comes together. And now people are focused on this. There's not enough information about that incident now. And people want to know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. You know, the mine that you referred to, you know, where these miners got sick, the Wuhan Institute of Virology was called in to investigate that situation. And they took samples. And so, and this, by the way, this wasn't the only, these weren't the only they samples they were taking. They made a habit of going into caves and places where bats were to find SARS viruses because they were studying those and they brought them back to the lab. The problem is we don't know. They've said we didn't have a virus that was close to COVID-19, but we don't know that because the U.S. government hasn't had access to the data. They haven't been able to interview the researchers. They haven't seen lab notes, the kind of things that a normal investigation would call for. And so it's really interesting that this lab was studying these viruses that are so close to COVID-19. And in fact, they were also doing what's known as gain of function experiments, which make the viruses more contagious and more able to infect humans. And those are controversial. Some scientists think, you know, that those shouldn't be done because they're dangerous. They were working on it. And by the way, they're not doing this again. They weren't doing this as for some kind of bioweapon, as far as we know. They were doing this to try to learn about coronaviruses to develop vaccines and prevent them from spreading. But if there was an accident, the world needs to know that because it has implications for how we would respond, how we understand this pandemic, and certainly should be a warning to China that it needs to get its house in order in terms of its lab safety and security.
Yeah, just an interesting position. This far along, we have vaccines that are already fighting against the virus. And when it comes to the origins, we have more questions than we started with. So still something we're going to be hearing a lot about until we hopefully get some type of answers. And as you mentioned, we may never know. So we'll keep monitoring all of that. Ken Dilanian, national security correspondent at NBC News, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Oscar. Great to be with you.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been Reopening America. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.